Only one kid in history had ever attempted what Benny was about to. And he got eaten. So we were worried, real worried. Even when Benny brought out the secret weapon, shoes guaranteed to make a kid run faster and jump higher. P.F. Flyers.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It is the Slate Lace Podcast, your favorite podcast. Happy hump day. We hope you're doing well so far. Blair Holly, how are you? How's the week?
I mean, my toe's better, but
got that toe run over by the door.
Shoot, at least I'm not like you losing a whole nail.
That nail gotta come off sometimes. You gotta be aware where you're walking, you know. But anyway, it's been a good couple weeks at the movie for me, at least. I'm speaking for myself here.
Well, we've seen the same movies, no?
Yeah, but it's been a lot of heat in the theaters, as I've been saying. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. Even there's some more coming out, like the... why am I thinking Pirates of the Caribbean? Black Panther.
Oh.
That's coming out. And then I don't know what it's called, the one about the little dinner on the boat. That looks lit to me. I don't even know what it's called.
I don't know, but I know that
there's one... But it starts going crazy.
I know that there's one that has like an all-star cast in there, and it looks kind of vintagey, like some like 70s-ish, 60s-ish. You know what I'm talking about?
Amsterdam?
Yeah, there we go.
Nah, see, that's where we, me, and Blair differ, obviously, because that's his kind of movie. Amsterdam looks weak to me. And then there's another one that's similar to that.
What?
With just Brad Pitt. I think it's Babylon or something like that.
Okay.
And is the Amsterdam the one Damien Chazelle or...
Yeah.
That's him? Yeah, it's very Damien, that movie.
You meant the director.
Yeah, the dude that did La La Land.
Yeah.
I think that's him that's doing Amsterdam.
I thought you was trying to say Don Cheadle.
Okay, no. I ain't that bad with names and stuff. But no, exactly. No, I think Damien is doing that Amsterdam movie. Okay. Or it's Babylon.
Dang, he got to follow up. He got to follow
up.
Yeah,
because I know you was a big La La fan.
But even that, he hit everyone with Whiplash. Then he went La La. So
let's see.
So if it's Amsterdam, you know.
Amsterdam is David O. Russell. So like David O. Russell is Silver Linings Playbook.
Okay.
He did that other one with Amy Adams, American Hustle.
Yeah.
Babylon.
That movie is for sure. It's 2010 that came out?
Something like that, maybe a little
yeah,
later.
Yeah, so definitely top 10 of the 10s.
Yeah, it's very David O. Russell, too. Like, he has his own style. But no, yeah, so Babylon, I don't know if you've seen the trailer for that. That's with Damien Chazelle.
Okay.
Anyway, it looks interesting. And then there's that big comeback film, The Whale, that's going to be starring Brandon Fraser, that everyone's talking about.
Oh, yeah, because he ain't been around in a minute.
Yeah, so.
Mom likes him. Mom likes him.
From back in the day. So it's a lot of stuff coming out. So it's going to be a good summer. But again, we saw a lot of whatever. What are we in? Just winter. It's going to be a good winter. It's been hot. Ain't it been 110?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, we've been having a little heat wave.
I work by the beach. So
yeah,
really
exactly.
Hot.
I work in the heat. I work right outside. Yeah, so it's been hot. But we've seen a couple movies. We're going to do a unique thing. We're going to hit you with two reviews in one. So we're going to be reviewing The Woman King and The Barbarian. So we're going to start with The Woman King. While I pull up the synopsis of The Woman King, Blair, initial thoughts? I heard you thought it was related.
Oh, you asked me for initial thoughts. I'm getting ready to say it.
Go.
Dang,
go.
Give me a minute.
Because this is
swallowing the water.
This is, as Stephen A. says, blasphemous. So go ahead and get into this before I get into mine. Go.
But with all due respect.
It ain't
reason,
no due
hang
respect.
On, hang on. The only reason that I'm getting ready to say what I say is because to this day, I still haven't seen Black Panther. And
that's
know,
blasphemous.
And everybody I know that is black. Like, kind of trips out on me about it. But the thing is that I'm excited to see the movie. I think the movie is probably, you know, Black Panther I'm speaking on. I think that the movie is fire and is going to be fire. I just hadn't gotten around to doing it. And then, you know, once you get so far behind and catching that movie, there's just so many other movies that end up coming out, and then you end up watching those.
Yeah.
Or you have your traditional go-to. But
it is lit. It was lit. And, you know, I don't even do superhero movies. So if I'm saying it was good, it was good.
And that's also tough, too, because you get in the mix of, like, I mean, there's almost like a superhero movie coming out, what, 3 or 4 times a year. So
yeah, Marvel trying to do the whole, every comic book ever written, they going to make a movie on it.
Yeah.
So Captain Toe. Like, it's going to be one.
You said Captain Toe.
Yeah. Yeah. They just touching on every superhero ever made in America, and then they get in the spinoff. So all you got to do, if you want to be a famous actress out here, look athletic.
Writer, I guess.
Yeah, look athletic and get in a Marvel movie, because you'll have a spinoff. You'll have a Disney Channel Plus show. You'll have a WandaVision show. You'll have everything. And you about to be, juicing it here, making some money. But go on.
So initially, I thought The Woman King was the follow-up to Black Panther.
Now, guys. Now, you know that's just racist. That's number one.
It's not racist.
Yeah, it is. Because you thought a bunch of tribal black people from the same movie.
Well, because in my defense, I've listened to the Black Panther soundtrack. And, you know, Kendrick Lamar.
You gonna pray for me.
Had did it. And, yeah. And there's a lot of the tribal noise in there, right? And then, yes, exactly.
Hey, so, soundtrack hit.
It does.
Shout out to The Weeknd and Kendrick.
I know, but you see how you did that, right? So it's like, you know, I apologize, but I had heard, you know, I heard the sounds. I seen the style. Like, you know, the wardrobe, right? The wardrobe is similar. It almost seems like African-ish, like always being like on dirt and ground, you know.
Racist. How's that? Stereotypical.
I don't even think I've really seen a Black Panther trailer, but I've seen like a shot or two, you know, and from the shots that I had seen, right, it looks very similar to Woman King. And then I think the main reason that I thought it was the follow-up is because you talked about Black Panther 2 coming out. And then you texted me and was like, go watch The Woman King.
Yeah, so I think I told you. I was like, yo, the Black Panther 2 trailer looks dope.
Right. And then now all of a sudden you're like, go see Woman King. I was like, oh, this must be the follow-up. Because you know how, like, you might see a movie and then the name for the second film isn't like...
Yeah, it'll be something else.
Right, right. So I just thought it was something else.
Even Black Panther 2 is Wakanda Forever. It ain't even
right. Yeah. You see my point. But yeah, so then I remember I was at mom and dad's, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go watch Black Panther 2 or whatever. And they're like, what? And I was like, yeah, you know, Woman King. They're like, Blair, it's not even. I was like, okay, well, I was going, you know, I was like, I hadn't even seen Black Panther 1.
That's
so low
sad.
Key, if no one told me, I really would have went in theater and thought I saw.
You're Black like, how does this connect?
Yeah, I don't get the connection. But so that was my initial thoughts. I hadn't seen a trailer or anything like that.
Honestly, that's some of the best initial thoughts you've had, though. You was dead wrong, but those are some of the best initial thoughts you had.
Yeah, usually I just say I don't know. The trailer. Well, it's true, because I usually do that on purpose, though.
But I don't know how, of all the movies you see, how you've never seen a trailer.
Yeah, I never watch trailers, though, because I don't want to be able to figure.
No, when we A-list, you don't even see them in the movie before the movie starts?
Usually I'm behind. Like, usually I'm in line getting popcorn.
See, I don't even like that. I like to be in the seat.
I'm sneaking in my water jug, you know, the usual stuff.
But anyways, okay, so that's Blair's initial thoughts. That was a little definitely comic relief. All right, so The Woman King summary. A historical epic inspired by true events that took place in the Kingdom of Dahomey, one of the most powerful states in Africa in the 18th and 19th century. That pretty much gives it away. I mean, that's a dead giveaway what the movie is about. It is starring Viola Davis, and I'm gonna butcher these names, okay? So don't judge me.
Oh yeah, I know.
Thuso, can't even really. I don't even know what's that. Thuso, shout out to her.
Mibidu.
Now how? Okay, real quick on this character. You know what character she is, right?
Click on it. Yeah, the grown woman. The one that was saying that she was 19.
Yeah, how old did you think she looked?
I never thought she was 19. I thought she was like 12 or 13.
31. I said, girl, black don't crack. This woman is older than me. I really looked. I was like, this girl is playing 19. She got to be about 13, 14. I said, this might be her first film.
The only, and you know, in the thing when I was watching
that it, woman is like, straight up 31 years old.
I was watching and I'm sitting here thinking, yo, this is some a of this girl. Stuff that they showing and suggesting with her in this film, I was like,
she inappropriate.
Yeah, I was like, she better be older. But dang, 31.
But then it could be the whole slave aspect, so who knows? But I was like, this girl's a child. I was like, she's 14. And then she's like, oh, I'm 19 in the movie. But I was like, okay.
Yeah.
She might have been lying there to get in the kingdom.
Yeah.
Looked up. The real actress is like straight up 31. That's crazy.
So she was born in like 91?
89. Yeah.
What do you mean?
She's older than that then. No, let's see.
Yeah.
No, 91. You're okay. Right. You're okay. But yeah, no, that's crazy.
Dang.
Anyway, moving on. We got Lashana Lynch, Stella Atim, John Boyega, we all know, and a couple others that we won't get in because the names are hard to pronounce. Sorry, guys. But it is directed by Gina Prince Blythewood, who we know of Love and Basketball. Wrote and directed that one. And then the story is by Dana Stevens and Maria Bello, who is also a famous actress. All right, so that is the cast. Obviously, we got to get into the reviews here. We got to get into the meat of this. We're going to start with the pros, though. Blair, any pros?
Yeah. I like the... one of the overall messages of... you know, somebody kind of just like wanting something so bad and wanting to really succeed at something and really like, you know, having their like kind of, how can I say it? Just having their, you know, the thing that they're passionate about and the thing that kind of drives them. You know, you kind of like when you watch films like that sometimes and you know, you feel like you're passionate or, you know, you have some sort of drive and you watch it, you kind of connect with the characters in the film. And then, you know, you find yourself rooting them on. This film really did well with that, with the 19-year-old girl. Yeah, quote unquote, right? You know, her whole just, you know, drive and her wanting to be successful in this thing is just like, I don't know, it was remarkable to me.
Yeah.
I really thought it was a good storyline, you know, even if it did have, I guess, some cliche moments, I guess, as you could say. Then there are things that I felt like that put it outside of the box where, you know, you didn't get things that you necessarily would expect with this film. And I dug the cinematography. I dug the overall vibe. The mood was very consistent. A lot of pros.
For me, pros are pretty simple. Obviously, I like the cast. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily unknown, but it's a lot of British actresses. Mm-hmm. So that's why we definitely didn't know them. Obviously, we're here in the States. Mm-hmm. But still, I thought the casting was great. John Boyega, like, even though he's such a standout figure and, you know, A-list actor, for him to be kind of in the background and the movie still works. Mm-hmm. Is really good, but I mean, then again, you got someone like Viola Davis at the forefront, so that kind of makes up for it. So casting was great, and the storyline, the overall plot. Yeah. This is something that really happened. Like, okay, it might not, obviously something has been dramatized, but the fact that, you know, we don't know much about this Kingdom of Dahomey, and the fact that there was an all-woman or all-female group of warriors that actually was taking down dudes, like, that's kind of crazy. So I like that they brought this story to the forefront. Now, I will say, as we transition somewhat into the cons, like, this is definitely not my kind of movie.
Really? I mean, for me...
Black Panther also wasn't my kind of movie, just throwing it out there. Yeah. In the scene of fighting and whatnot, and, like, this kind of war, I'm fighting for my tribe, like, not my thing, like, I'm not down.
Got you. I think what makes it... like kind of awesome, I think, is just that there's not a lot of films out there that can kind of touch on black culture, right?
In a positive way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Usually, so that's another reason why I'll say real quick that I'm not really about to shut this down. I'm not really about to hate on this film because I'm not going to do it. because I'm not about to be tearing down a black film. Mm-hmm. I'm just not, like, nah. So you're not really going to get too much negative. It's just because it wasn't for me, I still went. Still went opening weekend because I'm not about to do that. Like,
yeah.
The next black person wants to get their film made. And I think Gina Prince-Bythewood was on the Breakfast Club talking about that as well. Like, and Viola Davis. Like, if you guys don't go support this in the theater and, you know, have it make money, it's just making it harder for the next black filmmaker to, like, bring black stories to light. So I'm not about to do that. Go.
And so what I liked is, you know, this was able to touch on it in a different way, right? Like, when people think of classic, you know, black films that kind of show, you know, black people in some light, right? Whether it's positive or negative, right? You think of Love and Basketball, right? You think of Menace to Society, right? You think of Boys in the Hood, you know. But, you know, as I name these movies, Friday, right? They all have a lot of common things and things that are happening where you're just like, oh, you know,
here we go again.
It's always just kind of like our struggle and kind of like whatever, being in the hood, trying to get out the hood, trying to make something happen for ourselves. So to be able to touch on black folks in a different light makes things, you know, makes it that much better, right? Mm-hmm. That's like when we sat here and I loved the black romance film, the one we just reviewed last year. I can't think
of it. Photograph?
No, not Photograph.
Homegirl with Tessa Thompson?
Yeah.
Sylvie's Love?
Sylvie's Love, right? Yeah. Where, because it's like you're able to show something where it's like, look, black folks are just regular people as well, right? There's plenty of things that we have done or do that can be shown, and it doesn't have to be about us being athletes and entertainers, and that's all we know how to do, right? So this film was like kind of able to show that and go, hey, look, we got history as well, right? You know, we got samurai movies out there, right? And then, you know, whatever, white history is basically any movie that kind of comes out, right?
So, just movies,
right? So for us to be able to kind of get in that box and put something out, you know, and make it entertaining and not cliche.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, come on, that's like something in itself right there.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, the movie's a pro in itself, that the fact that it was just made and it's focusing on, you know, something that actually happened that they probably try to bury.
Yeah,
you know, they don't want us to know, like, the positive side of black history. So
right,
you know, thank you for bringing this story to the forefront. You know, at the end of the day, it was freaking entertaining. That's what I'll say too. It was entertaining throughout the whole time, from the beginning to end. There was not really a dull moment.
Yeah,
but if we had to touch on some cons, again, I'm not gonna sit here and shred it down, but some cons, I mean, right off the bat, we got to go with the length.
Yeah.
Two hours, 15 minutes. It was quite lengthy, guys. Yeah. Quite lengthy.
A little lengthy. Yeah.
I know you mentioned the cinematography was good, but a lot of people, like, I was reading, like, we're not messing with the cinematography. They thought the fight scenes were
But see, that's also different too, right? Because then that's like people like choreographing fights and stuff.
Yeah,
like
they were
that.
Saying that, oh, we could tell it was choreographed. Like, well, yeah, like,
yeah, we know that. Yeah,
people ain't really getting stabbed. Like,
yeah. But if you sit
there and you analyze the movie, you can see that with anything. Like, there's always a couple, you know, punches out where, like, oh, that was a fake punch. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's common. But as far as cons go for me, I mean, it's more just length. There is one that I don't want to get into because I might spoil it, because this is not a deep dive, obviously. But there's a storyline that we could have left out. I'll say that. You probably know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That it just didn't advance the plot, didn't advance the story. Why are we doing it?
True.
So there's one of those. But other than that, I don't really have a lot of cons.
Yeah.
I think everybody. Oh, and then sometimes that thick accent was a little hard to understand sometimes. I'm sitting here like, could they put a caption up?
Yeah.
Because they only put up the caption for the Portuguese people. But sometimes the accent was a little thick. But outside of that, it was good.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. For me, definitely would have been the runtime, but also I didn't hate the runtime too much.
Because it kind of kept you engaged?
Yes, because it kept me engaged. I was kind of locked in from beginning to end. But yeah, my other con would be two story points that maybe we didn't necessarily need to address. I only say we didn't need to address one of them because of how they said these warriors were supposed to move. As women, you know, and like, since they're so mission oriented, right? Like, they don't really like have a life. And since it's kind of touching on it, but not all the way touching on like them like not having personal lives, it doesn't make sense to try to open up a box that we're not even going to potentially go down. Like I said, like you're saying, without giving it away, I'm not trying to really give it away, so I won't touch on it too much. You know, now if we decide to jump back on here one day and do a deep dive, you know, then, you know, for sure I'll get into it. Other than that, I really didn't have any cons. I personally loved the movie. I thought it was pretty dope. From beginning to end, I was in there. I only knew it was 2 hours and 15 minutes because I looked it up before I went in, and then I was enjoying it, but then at the same time I was just kind of like, I think this is kind of long, and it is kind of getting there.
Yeah.
But solid film for me. Solid film, no doubt.
Yeah. No, I agree. Again, those are nitpicky cons. The one about cinematography isn't even my con. That was a common theme in the reviews. That's all okay. I'll say. But I definitely didn't feel that. I felt like the camera work was fine. You know, they panned when they had to. We got wide shots, you know, close-ups. We got everything we needed. But yeah, overall, it's just an exciting movie. But on that note, let's get into some of the ratings. So, this is kind of shocking.
Really?
Yeah, the Rotten Tomatoes of it all for The Woman King is pretty good. Mm-hmm. It got a 94% from the critics and a 99% audience score.
Okay.
That's insane. Okay. That's not shocking to you?
No.
That's high.
Oh.
You thought the movie was like that good?
Yeah.
Again, this ain't my thing because I was like, oh, dang. You know, like, that's pretty good. Blessing, you're like, yeah, what? Because it's high. 94% from the critics and 99% audience score. That's almost a perfect audience score. That means people was in the theaters after, like, yeah.
I went to a late one as usual, and there was only a few people in there. But, yeah, people applauded at the end.
Mm. Well, Blair, let's get into your rating. Well, let's just get on thoughts because I thought the movie was just okay. I thought it was good. I'll say that. Good, period. Mm-hmm. Like, better than okay, but not great. Good. Okay. Full stop.
Okay.
On that note, though, Blair, let's get into your ratings. Out of five on the originality.
4.5.
4.5 originality, and then entertainment.
5.
So you got a 9.5. Okay, you up there with the tomato and the critics,
yeah,
huh?
I thought it was.
And hold on. Let me get the IMDb.
But it also hit me different, though.
What do you mean?
Like, me watching it, I don't know. It just kind of hit me in like a special way. And a lot of films don't really do that for me. So when I watched it, this is like,
yeah,
for sure a memorable film. Like, I'll remember pretty much all of it, even if I've only seen it once, right? I've only seen The Lion King once, but I still kind of remember it front to back.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those films that, like, 50 years from now, for sure, I'll be like, yeah, it was, like, monumental for me.
Okay, well, maybe I need to go see it again. Dang.
No, I mean, it just, but like I said, it hits everybody differently, though. I don't know, right? Like, some of the worst movies people watch, and it's like, well, nah, it changed my life, though. Yeah. You know?
And then just real quick, IMDb, so that's more of the people's champ. They gave it a 6.2 out of 10. So more middle.
I mean, it's definitely not a 6 to me.
Yeah.
I thought it was solid, for sure.
Yeah, so you got it at 9.5. 1 to 5 originality for me. It's a 4. We haven't seen anything like this, even though it's an adapted story from real life. We haven't seen an all-female cast just chopping people up.
Yeah.
We'll go back to this after. And then, so I had it at a 4. And then entertainment, 3.5.
Okay.
So I got, 7.5?
7.5. Yeah.
Out of 10?
4,
yeah,
right?
4.
So yeah, 7.5.
7.5 out of 10, and then a 9.5 out of 10. Definitely go see the movie. It's definitely worth the trip. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my favorite character, though. Lashana Lynch character, Aguzi. I forget how to pronounce the name, guys. Izogi.
Okay.
Yeah, she was killing folks.
Yeah.
And she had that dope scene where they shot off the knife and she just hands it back to Viola. Mm-hmm. That scene was hard. So they got some good scenes in there.
It was really dope.
She was like, yeah, she was dope. So definitely go check it out. It's good.
Yeah, because I think also, you know, they always kind of try to talk about films where females are in the forefront and they're not like so character driven in the sense of like they're always like looking for a man and want a man, right? Mm-hmm. Like this is one of the films where their dialogue isn't really man related, or right where it's like you're having conversations and every time you're having a conversation it's about some other guy, right? So that, I mean, that in itself is like dope, you know, to just kind of see where it's like, okay, we can bring women into these roles and have them play these characters and it ain't got nothing to do with men, you know. That's just one of the, I think that usually ends up happening mostly because it's a man writing a woman, you know, and then that obviously can.
And then now happen. You have the complete opposite.
You know, but when you got women writing it, it's going to be a little bit different. But like I said, that in itself also is special. This film, like I said, is special in many of ways. I definitely think it's something that people should go and check out. You got to remember, you know, IMDb and the peoples with that, they're going to feel a little bit different than critics, because critics are always going to look at films
with judgmental eyes.
Right, in a different light, and where like they think like maybe film is shifting to, and like did they kind of like do something to open new doors? Did they do something that's breaking down those barriers, you know? And in this film, I don't know, it just kind of seems like that was something that they were going to do. I wouldn't be surprised for sure if there's going to be some nominations, maybe one win. Mm-hmm. At the Oscars.
Yeah, we'll have to see. So Blair says definitely go see it. I say definitely go check it out. Guys, we are going to transition into our next film. That's The Slate. We're talking about The Barbarian. Let me get up that synopsis. But while we get into that, Blair, initial thoughts. You had to have some initial thoughts because I told you to go see it.
You told me go see Barbarian.
And I said you're not going to know what's coming.
You said, I'm not going to know what's coming. And then I was at work and I had two people tell me that they didn't really like it because they said that out of nowhere, the film decided to make no sense. And then they said, I'm not going to give it away, but you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about when you watch. So I didn't know what the heck I was going into. Once again, not seeing the trailer. So, you know, didn't know, came in watching, and boy, did...
Boy, did it do something, huh?
Boy, did it do something.
So, just to preface this, y'all know I get excited for a horror. Y'all know I get up for this. I was out of town and literally walked to a theater in Portland, Oregon.
AMC?
So I didn't get no point. I had to pay. I had to pay 20-something for a ticket.
That's crazy.
I went to a Regal out in Portland. Had to walk and went to go check out this movie on a little down day. Wasn't disappointed. Wasn't expecting much because I didn't. This is the first time where I really had only seen like a 10 to 15 second clip. So I really hadn't seen much of the trailer. Didn't know what to expect going into it, but I'm excited. Anytime you hit me with the thriller, I heard Justin Long was going to be in it. That's like one of my favorite actors. I listen to his podcast all the time. So I was like, okay, Justin's always in something a little crazy, something a little weird. If he's not in a rom-com, he's in some like weird like movie. So I was like, okay, I know it's going to be good. So I was like, I gotta check it out. The synopsis real quick. A woman staying at an Airbnb discovers that the house she has rented is not what it seems. And that's perfect. That's all we need to know. Zach Cregger writes and directs it. And it is starring Georgina Campbell. She's new to me. I haven't seen her in much. Bill Skarsgård, you know him as It the Clown. Justin Long, who I just mentioned from pretty much everything. And those are the three that star in that movie. Fun fact, mom and dad are seeing it right now, and I was shocked.
Dang.
I was like, mom's about to go watch The Barbarian. She's like, yeah, no, I'm about to be scared. I was like, It's not, but it is. Like, especially for mom, it's going to be like a little shock to the system. It was uneasy at times, too, though. It was uneasy and had that suspense. You were like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Like, you're doing that a lot. Like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
So, Blair, you gave us your initial thoughts. Not usually that much of a horror fan, though, right?
Right.
Yeah, so this is definitely my type of film. But without further ado, let's get into the pros and cons. The good, the bad, the ugly. Let's start with some of the good here.
Some of the good is I like the unsettling feeling that you kind of get when you watch this film. The film really gets things going pretty much from the jump. And It's very misleading.
And you're doing that, hold on, sorry, you're doing that Jordan Peele thing where he's like, the whole premise of Get Out, like, nope, don't go in there, nope, don't do that, nope, don't do it. Girl, what are you doing? Like, why, why? You're doing that from the jump, but go.
Yeah, so, but that's what I mean when it's also, like, misleading, right? So you're, like, kind of watching all of this, and you're just like, dang, something's going to happen to her, right? Like, you know, and then she ends up being in there with the guy, right? And you're like, oh, he's the killer, right? Because what the director is doing is he's allowing you to kind of do all the work.
Put your judgment.
Figure things out yourselves, right? But he never told you that these things are happening, right? So in a way, it's like misdirection, you know, but you're sitting here watching and we're thinking all of this is going to go down. And it turns out that we just like didn't know what the heck was actually going to happen, you know, which a pro is that this is a different film, you know, for horror. It's unique because in my mind, this was three different types of films in one. And when I was watching, I didn't know I was going to get three different types of films. I know people told me, watch out. But when I'm watching the beginning, I'm like, this is what I want, right? I want her to go in that house, and then I want her to just get, like, axed up by somebody or get trapped somewhere, and she got to get out, right? Because it's a horror film, you know? It's rainy. It's dark. It's literally the only light on at the end of the street. You're like, yo, she's literally making the wrong mistake right now. She's going, you know, and so you're wanting all of that, and you don't get that. So yep. I don't know. That was dope.
Yeah, I mean, for me too. The pros. I mean, what can I say? The pros was everything. The entire movie, but literally the fact that Blair said three movies in the one. I definitely thought it was two movies in one. The misdirection, the buildup, the pacing, the cast, the characters, the actors brought their A game. This is probably one of the most unique horror films that I've seen. Maybe in the past couple years, because there are some good ones. And if you a whole other podcast.
We just saw the other one, the one that Eric saw too. That I keep forgetting the name of these movies we reviewed on here, the horror film. The one that
with the two, Malignant.
Yeah, there we go. But that was unique too.
Yeah, but that wasn't one of my favorites. This is probably one of my favorites. So yeah,
this film is one of your favorites.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
You was leading. Continue.
Yeah. So like I said, it's like two films rolled into one. You have no idea. All of a sudden, it just splits. The pacing, I said, the timing. Actresses did their thing. Just the overall uniqueness of the storyline. The fact that it did my favorite thing where they use one location, very minimal locations. Like the whole film pretty much takes place in that house. Love that idea. You guys know I've been saying that for I don't know how long. So yeah, love how they use their settings, cinematography, everything was great. Entertainment, just 10 out of 10. Literally, it hits the ground running. Homegirl should have known better. It's just mistake after mistake, but yeah, it's great, man. It's really good. There, I can go on and on about how great it is, but we got to get into some of the negative. But Blair, first, what were you gonna say? You thought I didn't like it from the way I was.
Yeah, the way you were going on about it, it just seemed like you didn't actually dig this film. So when you just said it was one of my favorites, I was just kind of surprised.
No, I really like this. I guess I was trying not to give too much away when I was telling you to go see it, because I was like, look, you're not gonna know. And then I didn't want to get too excited, because I'm like, let him see for himself. But yeah, it's up there. It's good. I was sitting in that theater like, what is going on? Like,
yeah,
crazy.
That's for sure.
Crazy. Blair, cons?
When it became the second film, I was hot.
Oh, you thought it was like over or something? You thought they were?
Nah, so
without giving it away.
Without giving it away, right?
And then especially because it's still so new in theaters.
Yes. For me, as a director, when...
That was my favorite part. She was like...
Yeah, I'm like, bro, I'm out. Like, I really was about to get up and walk out that thing. That's how I felt.
That's how I was. Let's go. I don't know what's going on, but that was...
I was like,
bro, I saw Justin Long on the screen. I'm like, let's go.
This is absolutely stupid, is what I was thinking, right? Because I was watching and I'm thinking, okay, this is something big that's getting ready to happen, right? And essentially that's what it was going to happen without giving it away. But my thing is that anytime you have so much suspense that it is finally boiling over, right? Like the pot is on the water, or the water is in the pot and it's been running for the last 30 minutes that it's so hot that the water is spilling over the sides and it's getting ready to put the fire out, right? We are at that point in this film where, you know, if you go anywhere else, A, you're going to confuse the audience, obviously the goal. B, you know, you're going to take away from this big moment. You know, I felt like they just maybe did this scene too early, and maybe that cut needed to have been a little bit after. But I was watching and I'm like, yo, what is this, right? And then it just basically is like almost the beginning of a whole new film. And then I'm watching and then like I'm kind of laughing like, I mean, it's kind of clever. It's kind of cool. And like, mm-hmm. I'm slowly getting locked back in again. Mm-hmm. But my thing is that I had been like pulled out of something, right? Mm-hmm. So now you got to readjust.
Yep.
But my thing is like, why must I need to readjust? You know, but yeah. Then I, at the same time as this being the major con in the yep. film, you also have to salute the director / writer
taking that risk.
This, right? Because you're like, yo, this is one heck of a risk that I'm getting ready to pull right now. And I really don't know how the people are going to feel about it, because there's not a lot of movies where this happens. And then at the same time, you know, it's not like you're sitting here showing it to thousands of people before you like go ahead and then put it out. So yeah, that is obviously the major con to me, you know.
Yeah.
And then I just think of the other one is just kind of like some moments are a little too fabricated, too fake, too over the top, where you could never convince this movie, or you could never watch this movie and think you saw real life. Because like that last moment on the water tower thing, like, come on. You know, and then just thinking about the basement and the living conditions and like kind of like being down there, you know, without giving it away, but for like a lengthy period of time, it's just way too difficult to be able to do. So those are like kind of a few of the cons, but honestly, the dopest thing though is that the film's not even long.
Yeah, exactly. I think they get an hour 55.
I thought it was even shorter than that.
It might be, but yeah, it's dope. I have zero cons. So I'm going to touch on yours, what you said, which is with the big kind of initial split of the movie. Yeah, it does throw you off. And the director he turns you off for a second, but then gets you right back in there. And I guess it is kind of three parts, because then I forget that there's an old man storyline too. So that is a good point as well. But again, it all just ties in so well with what he was doing. This is a movie where you're not gonna know what's coming next, and I mean that in every way. Everyone says that, right? That's every movie trailer. You won't know what hit you. No, this one you will not know what hit you. This is very creative.
Because if you guess that that's coming,
if you guess this, you need to be
stop it.
First of all, you need to start writing your ideas down. You probably are a writer at heart, because if you can guess this,
you better go get you a lotto ticket.
But one movie, that. Real quick, let's shop it real quick. One movie where I guessed three things in a row. Smile.
Okay.
Three things in a row. I was like, how am I getting this? To the T, mm-hmm. And you'll see it and I'll tell you the lines, but to the T, I had mm-hmm. three things in Smile, the new horror movie, just down pat. I was like, it's going to be this. And then it was that. And I was like, it's going to be this. And it was crazy. Like, go see that one next and see. But anyway, this one, you cannot do that. Barbarian, you cannot, you have no idea what's going on. And it's in a good way. Like, if you guess what the true horror is,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's wild. And it's deep and it's dark. The true horror is dark and unsettling.
Yes.
Because of what the old man was doing.
Yes. And the underlying message, right? Like, this is like one of these films that's really good for a deep dive, right?
Yeah, it is. We probably could touch back on this.
That underlying message is kind of one of the things that's really going on, not just in film, but in life in general, right? Where like something happens to somebody, you know, like 30 years ago, but it's never really forgotten, right? And it kind of like affects people's lives. Then at the same time, it's the underlying thing because, you know, when someone takes advantage of another individual, right, there's always two sides to the story, or they say three sides, right? And then you're looking for the one that's the actual truth. This is one of those films where it's like, you watch it and you do think about film, because you think about all of like whatever the producers and the directors that have like ended up being found out about things that they had did to other people, like Harvey Weinstein or whatever, or Louis C.K., right? Like, you think about those things and you're like, yo, they're like kind of like trying to say something about that without saying something about that, because you can't get canceled, you know, for trying to touch on some of these things. That was like the biggest, you know, overall message to this film, because it even starts so early in the beginning when she gets into the house, you know, like all of that. It's just like, yeah, we would have to deep dive this, but
that, well, yeah, there's a lot of underlying themes that are relevant.
Yes,
today.
Yes, yeah. but like that's what the whole film is all about. It just, he just chose horror to address it, you know, and he chose suspense to address it. But that's really what it's all about, and I think that that's really fascinating.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, he did a good job. Like, I gotta look this Zach guy up, because, yeah, this is my first time hearing his name, but, I mean, I gotta see what else he's done, because this is crazy. And this is crazy. If this is his first film, it's kind of insane. Like, free. I mean, he's on that Jordan Peele, not that level, but I'm just saying, as his first one hitting it out the park, he's like, he's like up there, man. This is hitting it out the park. On that note, though, let's get into some of these ratings. Rotten Tomatoes had The Barbarian at 92%. And I think that's pretty fair. And then the audience score of only 71%. So the audience wasn't that taken away with this. And then IMDb, the people, they gave it a 7.6. So the audience was consistent with how they felt about it. But the critics gave it a 92%. And I'm kind of more up there with the critics on this one.
You will be.
But Blair, 1 to 5, originality.
5.
Yeah, you have to on this one. It's like so original. 1 to 5 on entertainment.
3.
All right, 8 out of 10. Originality for me, 1 to 5. Obviously, it's a 5. Entertainment, 5. I got this thing out of 10 out of 10. You got to go see Barbarian. It's mind blowing and mind boggling at the same time. Damn. That's all I'll say.
That's crazy.
So walk, don't run. But your rating says run to the theater too. 8 is pretty good.
No, I'm saying you definitely need to go see it because of everything that they address. Yeah. I just think a little bit of it's over
the
top.
Yeah, just a little less, yeah.
You know,
so it's over the top. You're going to get that over the top. But I feel like typical horror is these kind of over the top things. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Jordan Peele was the one that just kind of made horror just being everyday, you know? But typically it's a slasher. It's a Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like, exactly. All this kind of gory stuff. So exactly. That definitely plays
that's
into this.
That's why it's like 3 films in 1, because especially The Old Man's Story is a film all in itself.
Yeah, you could have really just made that.
And that thing is beautiful. Yeah. That whole time that we watched that story, like, man, the... Like, tell me that whole thing is not a vibe.
It was good, but he was just, like, it was just a heinous, so I was, like, scared for what was going to happen next.
But, I
like,
mean, the color choices, you can't, like, man.
Yeah, it was shot well.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, guys, film, no doubt. Go see this movie immediately, please. Do yourselves a favor. You're going to have some entertainment. So that's a wrap on those two movies. Again, that was The Woman King, directed by Gina Prince-Bythewood, and then it was Barbarian. Directed and written by Zach Kregers. Go check them out. But before we wrap up here, we're obviously going to see some more films. Like I just touched on Smiles Out, so I want to review that. Don't worry, darling. I definitely want to hit on that controversial film. Blair, did you see that one yet? You still got to see that one? Check it out. Very controversial, so we might have to dive it. I'll let y'all know. What else is out? I wanted to see that one with Idris, but it wasn't playing nowhere local. I had to go to like Burbank or Universal. I was like, not doing it for Idris. Sorry. Okay. But that was Beast. And yeah, I got to check out what else is out. But I'm excited for what's to come. I know Blair's excited for what's to come. We will have more reviews coming for you soon. Blair, anything else before we wrap up?
No.
All right, guys. It is the Slate Lace Gang. We out.